How did you feel being in a movie where you were the one this time mentoring these young, promising child actors?
that was definitely made me feel old on set. You know, it's so funny. These kids are so smart now, though. They're really quick. And Jordana is just, you know, years older than what she really is, particularly as a performer. You know, she's just very deliberate about the things that she does. And probably her adult counterparts who don't have my background don't see that, but I certainly did. So it just makes you feel like the old guard. And, you know, but at the same time, I think you're just flattered to still be in the game. You know, you're like, man, I've been doing this since I was your age, man.
So what wisdom did you impart to them? Is there anything in particular that you told them?
You know, really, there is no wisdom you can impart to these kids, to be quite honest. They know their lines better than you. You know, their minds are sponges for this stuff. You know, we're adults, so we've got all kinds of other stuff on our minds also. Really, seriously, all of the kids were just, if anything, you know, you thank them for the patience they have with you. I mean, do you have any idea how many times I had to sing that song with that banjo in front of those kids? And they're right there with me, like, come on, let's go, man, let's rev it up. And I'm like, so, you know, I owe the energy of that scene to the kids.
What made you take this part?
You know, I have a 21-month-old daughter now, and, you know, I just thought that it would be something that she could see me in soon that was new. And obviously, like I said, I was actually asked to play the role as opposed to auditioning. So it's always nice to have an offer. And it was organic. You know, I have a lot of respect for Sarah Magnus, the producer. So I wanted to work with her. You know, you have to support these independent producers that, you know, that really do things the old-fashioned way, you know, as opposed to the everything by committee. You know, those are really my three main reasons.
Okay, what did you read as a kid?
Oh, man, I was a Roald Dahl, Judy Blume nut. I read every Roald Dahl book there was. You name it. The Twitch, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you name it. Charlie and the Green Glass Elevator, and then obviously Judy Blume, and, you know, I was an avid reader as a kid. Avid.
Was that, did that kind of help you, like, as a child actor growing up? Was that kind of like your escape in a way, or? You know?
I don't know if it was an escape. I could read at a very early age, so that helped me book jobs when I was about 3 years old. Remember, I booked the Toys R Us commercial because my mom said I was one of the only kids in the room who could read the board, so... I can read the song, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. At 3 years old, they almost kind of say, yeah, he can already read that, just bring him. So I'm blessed that way to have a mother who made that a priority at a very young age.
What was the set like for this film? Because, I mean, the film itself just has this very fun kind of feel, so was that mirrored on set?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Sarah bought all the kids flip phones, and so, you know, every time you popped up, there was some kid next to you behind a bush doing his own behind-the-scenes B-roll on you, you know. And, you know, it was just light. You know, it was very light, and, you know, lunch was always fun, and you almost felt like you were in an elementary school cafeteria. You know, who am I going to sit with today? Who am I going to sit with? So, it was, trust me, what you see on the screen was very much reflected, you know, on stage. You know, I mean, you show up to the set and they're bringing elephants onto the set today. I'm like, Sarah Magnus production, baby, smoke wood.
Did it feel weird that, you know, you said this before that you felt like the elder statesman, but did it feel weird that you and Heather Graham, of all people, were like two of the oldest people on set?
I am never astonished, to be quite honest, anymore with who I end up working with. I have worked with Frank Langella. I have worked with Heather Graham now. What I do know about my business is that, you know, if you stay in this business long enough, you will work with almost everybody. So, you know, I wasn't shocked by that at all.
Okay, I know you were working on an internet, sitcom a couple of months ago, maybe even a year ago. How's that progressing?
You know, it was fun. I did it, really, it was almost kind of like, I told everybody when I did it, it was like a mixtape to fans. You know, it was called Fake It Till You Make It, and the, you know, the material was 100% unfiltered, you know. We had a lot of fun making it. I'm not sure if it's going to come back just because of finances. Other opportunities have come my way, quite frankly, that just pay more. but every blue moon, you just like to strike out as an artist to just let people know. You're like, hey, man, you know, I got my chops. And also, I love to, anytime I get a chance to let people meet Jahlil, the writer and actor, I really relish those opportunities. So that's what that was for me. I wrote every bit of dialogue that came out of everybody's mouth. And I worked with a terrific director in Todd Pellegrino. But I think that might just be the one classic season. I don't know. I can't say it. I just never say never, though. But that might just be the one classic season that we have on Hulu.
Okay, what do you think is the biggest difference between, you know, Jahlil White, the actor, and Jahlil White, the writer?
Whew. Well, Jahlil White, the writer, asks why 1,000 times. I overanalyze. I definitely have an over-analytical mind. And Jahlil White, the actor, it's crazy to talk about myself in third person like this, but Jahlil White, the actor, I prefer to live in the moment. I don't like to over-rehearse too much. I enjoy the spontaneity of a scene, and I'm literally the opposite. I don't overanalyze the scene too much until I'm there. So I like my little pages.
Okay, you mentioned before that you've kind of run into opportunities that pay much more than, you know, the independent things that you were doing. What does the future look like for you?
You know, right now I've been doing a lot of films, man. You know, I basically had, you know, I mean, I have another film in the can even right now called Rhymes with Banana. And, you know, I'm working on I should be in pre-production soon on another project that should be going in Canada at the end of this year. Fingers crossed. But right now I've really been pulled towards films. And I've loved films all my life. I never really even imagined that I would be a film actor. I knew I had it in me to do, but television is just what I always did. I've been in the business for 30 years. So after a while, you just get to a point where it's like, well, I'm a television actor. And then, you know, the pendulum just completely swung, you know, especially with the rise of reality. And, you know, I prefer act. You know, I won't say that I won't ever do reality because I don't know how it's going to continue to evolve, but I prefer to act. So right now I'm doing just movies after movies after movies. And it's fun because I get a chance to get on a plane and go someplace different and meet new people. And I love that. That's the Sagittarian in me that likes to travel.
You have millions of fans worldwide, and many of them, you know, haven't seen you. They kind of look at your work as something that's dated, considering, you know, how much time you spent on TV. What would you like to tell them about what you're working on now and how that's different from what you've done in the past?
You know, any good career in show business has chapters. You know, whether it's John Travolta, Sally Field. I mean, you know, I can name so many people who were once the Flying Nun and now they're about to play Lincoln's wife. You know, and you really have to, you know, when other people are judging your work or, you know, ready to write your autobiography and you're only 30, or, you know, you the performer have to step back and go, hey man, the chapters are still being written. So there's a lot more to come from me. A lot more to come from me. I can do any kind of comedy, you know, and I definitely want to, if I can finish my career and people understand that, I can do dry comedy, I can do slapstick, I can do, there is no kind of comedy I cannot do. And as far as drama is concerned, that'll be something that I tackle as it's offered to me or as the opportunities present themselves. But I'm definitely a comedy guy first, passionate about it. And I feel like, to be quite honest, I'm only just kind of getting started, really.
Okay, in the future, how would you like this performance in this film to kind of stand in the larger body of work?
Oh, this this banjo scene's gonna haunt me on YouTube for years to come. I already know this. I have no doubt about that. My daughter will find it at some point, and hopefully some complete jerks will not have written anything too bad for her to read. but like I said, it's I love roles, though, where I look so starkly different than what I do, what I am in real life. And I like that departure. And the character of Mr. Todd is a performer. That's really what he is. You know, he's the teacher, but he's also the class clown. It's fun. That's what it was. I mean, that's the best way to describe what the role was and how the role will be remembered. It's fun and it's unexpected.